Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Lose. But as long as you got your 26 guys ready to kick ass or kick butt, you're going to be all right.
Sports Talk Saturday.
I heard a fan offer free Dippin' Dots if I blew it, which the price of Dippin' Dots with inflation is just unreal. So for a brief moment, I was like, damn, Dippin' Dots sound good. But also, I thought in the back of my head, we win today, we win tomorrow, or tonight. We're going to be here another day. That's more per diem. So that means I can buy my own Dippin' Dots and be a winner.
On WGR.
I think three words every time I'm out there. The first one's a swear word, starts with F. Second word's attack. Third one's win. And I just repeat that to myself. Unless, you know, there's a breach in the system and a walk a guy, and I got to tell myself I'm a few different things. That isn't a winner.
Sports Radio 550.
Good morning, everyone. Zach Jones here, hanging out with Joe Calley on Sports Talk Saturday. It's been a bit since I've done a Saturday show, Joe.
It has been. Yeah, that open sounds like my average conversation on air. I'm just like sputtering all over
just
the place.
Sputtering.
Yeah.
You know what, though? The people don't want to admit it. That's peak athleticism right there. Per diem, Dippin' Dots, you're saying the same three words to yourself, can't really get through your speech, you've rehearsed it for years.
Are Dippin' Dots ice cream?
Yes. Are you going to say no?
Some people say no.
Some people?
I might be.
Getting nervous.
I don't know. I think it's in a weird medium of ice cream, but not like a bowl of ice cream, you know? It's in its own category. I feel like it can't really compare.
It's better. Regular ice cream is garbage. Let's be completely fair.
I'm like
here.
A gelato guy though, but is that ice cream?
It's gelato.
Right. So I don't know. I'm all thrown off. I should not have started this conversation because I don't know where to go.
I'm
spiraling out of control.
Zach Jones, Joe Calley here. Sports Talk Saturday. We do, of course, have the Buffalo Sabres coming up at 5 o'clock tonight as they finish out their final two games of the season down in sunny Florida. Tonight they get the Florida Panthers. 5 o'clock puck drop, 4 p.m. pregame right here, of course, on WGR. We also, of course, have the Buffalo Bisons playing in a little over an hour. They've got a single admission doubleheader thanks to some pretty garbage weather over the past week.
Yeah.
Not great.
Producing those with that bad weather?
It's got to be fun.
Yeah, when, you know, it's nice on the day. You're like, oh, I get called off, you know, I make some plans.
Right.
And then your Friday's like, oh, doubleheader, here we go. Or and your weekend is like, okay, woo! 2 7-inning games. At least they're interesting. You know, the Bisons actually have a decent squad. So
they're a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun to watch. So
you got that. That's going to be at the ballpark starting at 12:35 against single admission doubleheader against Rochester. Should be a lot of fun. We also got the Masters today.
We do.
Which is something that I have been locked into the last 2 days going into the weekend. A lot of fun. We've got right now on ESPN Plus because the actual live coverage doesn't start till like 3 in the afternoon because that's – love that. It's so much fun.
Just yeah.
Like right to the end of the day.
Of course.
We've got Ricky Fowler, Rory McIlroy. I'm as locked in as I was, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I came in this morning and I was like, yeah, like Tiger Woods. He's like playing well. I'm excited, the whole thing. And then we clicked this on, and it was like, yeah, like Rory, like he's also not doing that bad.
Not too shabby, yeah.
Totally forgot
that
he actually did not have a great end to his round yesterday, and he's 4 over par, at least coming into this morning, he's 4 over par. I think they're on hole number one right now, his group, but...
I mean, you could think Bob Barker's his partner. I mean, that's right. How bad it is right now, right?
But it's been so much fun to watch because... Joe, we've talked a lot about this off air. I've gotten into golf over the last 2 years quite a bit. It's kind of become my quote-unquote retirement sport after swimming in college for a number of years and doing that for much of my life. I got into this because I want to stay competitive. I want to stay active, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's just been interesting to see the duality of the sport, specifically at the Masters. You always know the aura of that event. There will be guys that can reach that peak, and there are guys that can't. And there are guys that will learn how to do that, and there are guys that will fall off, what have you. But it's been interesting to see how much the weather has played a factor there. Not rain, you know, not like, you know, snow or, you know, or anything like that. It's been wind. The wind has been killer for a lot of these guys. You're looking at John Rahm, Victor Hovland, Wyndham Clark, a lot of these big-name guys, Jordan Spieth. I mean, he had a little bit of a blow-up yesterday as well. Like, these guys just falling apart.
Yeah, just watch McIlroy miss a 2-foot putt, by the way, or 3-foot putt.
I feel seen
that's
doing that.
That's tough.
Well, so speaking about Victor Hovland, you see him yesterday?
Yes.
Goes in, misses the 2-foot putt, and does like the normal thing golfers do where they lift their leg and they're just going to tap it in with one hand. Misses that. And you're just like, oh, it's compounding. Yeah. And then through all of that, Tiger Woods has played.
He's still there.
7 holes of golf all year. Has so many injuries. It looks like an autopsy.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is making history. 24 straight cuts at the Masters. And
you got to respect it at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was something I hadn't thought about because I know Tiger Woods, really up until yesterday, didn't really make too much of hoopla about making cuts.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see some of these big names, John Rahm, who I believe did make the cut but was like inching very close to not making it, won the Masters last year, bad 2 rounds, potentially out or at least completely out of contention. Tiger goes in today, and I think he tees off a little bit before 1 o'clock.
So we'll see it a little bit here.
Much better weather. I mean, if he goes out there, birdies 2 of the first 5 holes.
Yeah, he's up there. He's up there.
The leaders are at 6 under. Like, mm-hmm. That's where it's been fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it doesn't feel like anyone is like so far out there that you're just like, why tune in this weekend?
Yeah, aside from what we're watching right now.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately, Rory McIlroy is now plus 5 over.
Yeah,
so
the first guys to go off are not great. But like, it's the build up to, you know what's coming, and that should be really exciting. And that's the thing, like, as somebody that has really started to get into golf, I always watch the majors, but like now I'm really into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so cool, like, to see this and then to kind of have a number of these storylines as well. Like, you have like a guy, even Bryson DeChambeau, who is one of the guys tied up there. It's him, Scottie Scheffler, and Max Homa all at 6 under. Bryson DeChambeau is a guy like I've started watching a lot more of due to YouTube golf.
And
a lot of like the golfers that are on there, Bryson joins a lot of them, the Good Crew and stuff like that. I know Paige Sporanek has had him on her channel and vice versa. And I'm like sitting there and I'm like, is he going to win the Masters? Like, that feels weird to me because like I've now like seen the Bryson DeChambeau person. I don't like him. I don't really like the guy too much. Mm-hmm. He's not my favorite athlete by any means. He comes off very fake, but but I'm like, oh, that's going to be weird. Like, because now I'm like sitting there, I'm like, man, if he wins, like, I'm going to have to like check out like YouTube golf more. And like, when's Bryson coming back on a number of these channels that he was just on to be like, yeah, guys, I won the Masters. Like, that'd be kind of crazy, but like, that's like where the sport's going now. I will tell you though, the LIV guys, I hate.
Are they merged? What's happening with that? I thought they were merged.
Be something that's going to be happening here pretty soon. We'll have Brian Koziol on at 1:30. I want to ask him about that because I've been seeing that where it's like, because I know Wyndham Clark threw a shot at Bryson DeChambeau too, being like, well, these guys don't play as many holes of golf as we do, so I can get them. And then he went out and missed the cut at plus 7.
Well, you got Phil Mickelson out there, I mean, chirping at everybody on the PGA Tour pretty much as soon as he went over there.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
But so, like, I'm like, are we going to, like, get this whole thing where, like, they all come back and, like, everyone's, like, all their dirty secrets have all come out? Like,
mm-hmm.
It's going to be like Mean Girls there at the end where it's like, okay, everyone knows how we feel about each other. How do we handle this?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm with you. I've gotten more into golf watching it. I mean, EA Sports PGA Tour is the godsend to get you into it. It's how I got into football, playing Madden at a young age.
I was going to say, I feel like for our generation especially, like that's how we get maybe into more niche sports.
Yeah,
like,
how you learn the golfers. Yeah. You play as them,
I got
right?
into soccer so, through mm-hmm. FIFA, like just playing that a ton and having all those different teams and playing like just randomly picking a team in Norway because I'm like, that'll be cool.
Right, or all you make your now, own team and you start drafting players, right?
I think that is a way that like that people do get into those sports.
Yeah.
That they don't necessarily like have to sit and watch or they don't necessarily play a ton, but like, yeah, like I've gotten into golf a lot. Like today, I'm going to actually go to a golf simulator when we're done here for my buddy's birthday. And like the whole group chat is like, golf simulator, the Masters, baby.
Here we go.
Like name a better combination. And I'm sitting there, you know, if you'd asked Zach Jones 3 years ago, you're going to watch the Masters and play golf, I'd have been like,
who are you talking about?
Yeah, why? That sounds like a terrible day for me.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, I've been looking forward to the Masters since January when they started having commercials come out.
No, when you see it, though, you know it's that time of year. Like, even during football season, they started playing them towards the end of the season.
I think the first one came out like the week before the Super Bowl or something like that.
And I was like,
nice.
I was like, okay, this is the time of year we're at. I mean, I love that I'm able to sit here and give my thoughts, even though my handicap is like a 32. I mean, let's be honest here. Like,
I love that you kind of know your handicap.
You're like, listen, it's not that bad. That's an exaggeration. But like, I'm a couple over every time, but I don't play enough, you know, to get out there and like actually build something. I'm good with my irons. I learned on irons first. So I never learned how to drive, and that's where my problem lies, because I just drive with like my 4-iron. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the problem.
I'm glad you're comfortable with that. I talked to Bulldog a lot, one of the hosts of our afternoon show here on WGR, and like his goal this year has been like to not freak out on a golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And I commend him so much, because I'm like, that's brave.
Yeah.
I think I told him this too. I'm like, that's super brave, because like my whole goal is to like shoot under 80.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm bad, Joe. Like, I'm not good.
What's your handicap? What would you say?
Don't know. It's awful. Don't know? I'm not good.
Would you say?
I 3-putt everything. If I make contact, I get emotional.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole thing.
See, my short game is where I'm better at. Once I get it onto the green, played a lot of putt-putt as a kid. I can work from there. You know what I mean?
So you're like, no, the short game has been built in.
I am so close to buying a Happy Gilmore styled putter, though, like the hockey stick one off of Amazon for like $70. I'm like this close. Like,
yeah, I feel it. I get it.
I feel like, I don't know, you hold that like a hockey stick, you might actually get a little better aim on it.
You might
have to try it out. I don't know.
Look at Scottie Scheffler, though. Like, he changed up his putters and now basically he's unstoppable. So,
I mean, he was pretty much unstoppable.
He was close to it then, and then he changed his putter and everyone's like, thanks, Rory. Thanks for bringing up. He should use a mallet. Thanks.
Yeah. Now Rory's 5 over, and Scheffler's like at the top of the leaderboard. Where is he? Is he top three somewhere?
Scheffler.
Yeah.
He's tied for first.
Tied for first. Okay.
Him, Max Homa, and Bryson DeChambeau are all 6 under going into today. I will real quick on Rory, because we've got him here on the TV. Loved Rory when Live First kind of like was becoming a thing. He was very vocal against it. Very. Mm-hmm. I've now gotten to a point with Rory, and I get this way with a lot of athletes. I've noticed, and I'm not really proud of it, but I get there all the time. Stop chirping that you're going to win like every event, everything, all the time, when you haven't won in like 15 years.
So Stefan Diggs? Oops, sorry. Might be a sore subject.
I get there. Like, Rory, it's the cringiest thing. Like, he was asked to like name all the Masters champions, and he went through it, and he gets to 2024, and he goes, Rory McIlroy.
Mm.
And I'm like, dude.
Yeah, that's happening right now.
And I'm like, mm-hmm. Look, I'm all for confidence, and I get it. As someone that was in athletics, I get it. You have to have confidence in yourself.
You have to have a healthy ego to put yourself in front of others mentally, because you need to be able to do that physically.
But a part of me is like, you don't need to bring it up all the time.
Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni. That's like, what I would say at that point.
And I'm like, Rory, you ain't that good anymore, man.
Mm-hmm. You're not Rory McIlroy from years ago.
He'll somehow survive till Sunday, and he's going to have an amazing day on Sunday where he shoots like a 64,
mm-hmm.
and it'll make it somewhat interesting, and he'll lose.
Yeah.
Like, that's Rory McIlroy now. He's really bad on like the first 2 days to take himself completely out of contention, but he'll make the cut, mm-hmm. and then he'll do something wicked on like Saturday or Sunday to make it somewhat interesting and fall completely flat by the end.
Yeah.
And that's Rory McIlroy now. And that's fine. That's fine. You're still there. You're still a known name.
Know who you are, though.
But know who you are, mm-hmm. yeah. No one asked you to name the 2024 Masters champion. They asked you to name the previous ones. Now you made it weird, you know?
Yeah.
And I can't stand that stuff.
We almost just watched a hole-in-one, by the way.
I missed it.
Yeah, the shot before this, I forget. I don't know if it was McIlroy or if it was Fowler, but there was almost a hole-in-one. I was about to explode if it actually happened. You were mid-conversation, and I was turned that way. I was watching it.
The only time someone hits a hole-in-one of the majors is when they're completely out of contention and they're a random person.
Yes. Rory McIlroy would be the one to do it.
Yeah, it's never going to be like Scottie Scheffler or Bryson DeChambeau today, where like first par three of the day, they just sink one, and you're like, that could be the turning point of the tournament. No, it's a random guy that you're like, he's just happy to be here on the weekend.
Yeah. You know, and the only way I found out I can drive is if I do a charge-up swing. Like, I gotta
run
into
it. You were telling
me
that. Like, you're truly Happy Gilmore. That,
I'm not, though. I don't get the distance. Like, I'm not saying I'm going to drive it 450 yards. It doesn't happen.
No, you're like, it's going to drive 180,
but that's how
I get it there.
Right. The only way I can line it up properly, like, when I just learning on an iron, it's like, let the iron do the work for you, right?
Yeah.
And then the driver's just light. So, like, I haven't gotten a lesson on a driver, really, right? So, the way I was just doing it at a driving range one day, I said, I'll try it. And then I started actually whacking the ball with
started working.
Only the driver, though. I tried it with the iron. I started just, you know, in the backyard, I tried it with the iron.
Oh,
I started
yeah.
just chucking grass up.
Oh,
you know, like, that was bad. So I'm not doing that ever again. But The driver, maybe I'll try. I'll keep doing it that way.
Beautiful.
Well, of course, we do have the Masters on today. We'll kind of be updating you as we go on throughout the afternoon. Of course, we have Brian Kozio, host of Tee to Green, on at 1:30. You'll also be hearing from Brian. You heard him this morning over at Pendleton Creek Golf Club. The Tee to Green crew were on from 7 to 9. He'll also be on later today for pregame with the Sabres, of course, as that game starts at 5, pregame at 4 o'clock.
The jack of all trades.
He's doing everything.
Yeah,
he's doing
everything.
You got to love that. You got to love a man that's dedicated. And that's what he is. So we'll have him on for a little bit. But where I do kind of want to start today, Joe, is I was listening to some podcasts on my way in.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're starting to get pre-draft visits for the Buffalo Bills.
Yes, we are.
And it's getting interesting because, I'll be honest, the names I'm seeing kind of throwing me a little bit.
Yeah.
You're looking at the likes of Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin. I did see Xavier Worthy did a visit with the Bills. But for a lot of us, we've been kind of talking about the idea of trading up, going to get a guy like Brian Thomas Jr. We were even talking before the show came on today, Roma Dunze,
mm-hmm.
trying to trade up with the Bears at 9. And the closer we get, I mean, we're well under 2 weeks now until the draft. The closer we get and the less I'm hearing names like, oh, yeah, the Bills are having Malik Nabers in, they're having Roma Dunze in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there and I'm like, they're not trading up, guys. Like,
no.
They're not going to take a wide receiver in the first round. They're not going to trade up a ton of draft capital to go get a guy that they didn't bring in the building. Now, I could be wrong. I could have completely missed that they brought those guys in. I doubt it. Mm-hmm. I feel like that would have been
that would have been news
everywhere.
Yeah, that would have been all over Twitter.com or X. That would have been everywhere.
And so, like, everywhere. And so the longer this is going on, the closer we get to the draft, I'm not seeing these names. I am sitting here going, yeah, we got to be prepared for like either them to pick at 28 or for them to trade back. And I got to be honest with you, Joe. I love it. I'm more than fine with it. Because I think with a quarterback like Josh Allen,
mm-hmm.
you don't need to go up and go get that guy. Mainly because you just got to take a guy that has the physical traits, willing to work, and with a great quarterback, can make a great receiver.
Right.
We're not talking about Josh Allen in his third year, where we're trying to figure out, okay, is he the guy? Is he going to be that dude? Let's go get him a vet now. Now, I'm not against it, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But I think this is why, like, I'm sitting here going, they wanted to trade back early in the second round, and like Troy Franklin's there.
McConkey
potentially.
I actually
drops to the second round.
Yeah, I did a mock draft, and we traded back to pick 36 in round 2.
Mm-hmm.
Ladd McConkey is the wide receiver we took right off the board. He was still there. I'd be fine with that. Truthfully, off the air, I'll talk about this with you. But we did two where mm-hmm. it went up and down, right?
Yeah.
I like the one better. The better assets you get are the one you trade down all the way through the draft. It works better for the team, I think.
And I think that ultimately, the idea of trading up is why. It's sexy. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like
right.
even now, I'm sitting here. I don't want to trade up. I said it a lot on the Extra Point Show when me and Josh were filling in for Sal and Joe for about 2 weeks. I don't want to trade up. Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of it. I really only like trading up for quarterbacks. It's the only time it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And yet, even then, if they traded up to 6 to get, like, Malik Nabers, I'd be thrilled
mm-hmm.
for about 24 hours.
That was what happened in the second mock draft I did. We traded
yeah.
up to pick 6, got Nabers. I thought it was Odunze, it's Nabers.
But then round 2 would start. There's a good chance they don't have pick 60. They mm-hmm. already don't have a third-round pick. They maybe lost next year's second or first, or one of their seconds and first.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be sitting there going, okay, Nabers
yeah.
better have 1,400 yards this year.
Right. You don't get back-to-back wide receivers doing that.
He better
that.
Be arguably an all-pro. And that was my thing before Diggs was traded, where mm-hmm. I was like, I just don't see the need to trade up, because at the time I thought they still see Diggs as a one.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott and their exit press conference had said at face value of, like, no, they still believe he's a one. So for me, it was like, I don't imagine they'll trade up all these assets to go get a guy
right.
who, realistically, to do that, he's got to be your guy. You're in a window now. They're considered near generational talents. The big three are all considered like clear-cut X wide receivers, number ones.
Yep.
They've got to hit.
Mm-hmm. If they don't hit, you've blown yeah. your chances.
And
right?
realistically, they've got to hit now. Mm-hmm. It can't be like, you know, a safety blanket of, oh, well, in 2 years when Diggs is finally done, then they take over. Then why did we trade up? There's no point, right?
Yeah.
And then they traded Diggs.
Diggs
but
also,
I will tell you, when they traded Diggs, my mind didn't change. My mind just went to, okay, well, now you have two spots you need to fill.
Mm-hmm.
You have 150 catches, 1,900 yards,
yeah.
and like 17 touchdowns to fill. You got Curtis Samuel. I like that. I think Khalil Shakir is going to have a breakout year. I also think Dalton Kincaid's going to have a breakout year.
Right. And you can't ignore, you can't sit there and be that fan that's like, oh, Diggs was basically non-existent in the offense last year. The guy still, think back to the Miami game they won in Buffalo earlier in the year. Literally once.
He was still very
good. It was him. Like, yes, Joe Brady's Ken Dorsey skeleton scheme at that point wasn't really utilizing Diggs at that point in time. But you can't just discredit, like, oh, we're fine without him because we were fine for the second half of the season. Mind you, you were 6-6 at one point, and the team was basically falling apart because of
him. I think a lot of that, you were 6-6 to a point because, like, Diggs had to do everything in the first half of the year.
Right. It was.
And it wasn't leading to wins. I think that was a big problem. And while Diggs is talented, it wasn't leading to wins. I think a lot of that, though, is why there was no rumors. There was no thought to the Bills trying to sign back Gabe Davis. None.
No.
It was a foregone conclusion at like week 8 that Gabe Davis was gone.
It's frustrating now thinking about that because without Diggs on this team, you held on to Gabe Davis. I think you might have seen something come out of him when he's not just being used as an extra offensive lineman blocking the entire time.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Davis is such a tough prospect for me to talk or a player to talk about because in one aspect, I'm like, the value you got for a fourth-round pick, phenomenal. I mean, he came in his rookie year, he had 7 touchdowns, over 400 yards. Like, as a fourth-round pick, you're like, boom.
You can only dream to get another one like that.
Yeah, the problem was you saw that in his first 2 years, and I think understandably the Bills went and looked and saw he's going to develop in something.
Mm-hmm.
He's bigger. He's got good vertical abilities. He's got incredible sideline abilities. We'll be fine. But too often, throughout his Bills career, because even me and Josh had looked back, this is a few weeks ago, look back at the games prior to his 4-touchdown game against Kansas City.
Yeah.
It's the Gabe Davis experience.
Right.
It's nothing, 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 boom, explodes.
Yeah.
And then nothing, nothing, nothing. You know,
it's a slide whistle that happens every couple minutes.
Exactly.
Like, that's it.
But for me, like, that's my thing is, like, they're doing a full retool, though, on their wide receiver room. They really are. I mean, they're bringing back Khalil Shakir, of course. They do have guys like Tyrell Shavers and Justin Shorter, who I do know there are Bills fans out there that are very excited for him.
A lot of the callers like Justin Shorter. Listen, as much as I think he deserves a shot in the offseason, right, training camp, prove yourself, I think there are better options out there.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to him. I mean, Khalil Shakir exploded last year, right? So he's like, okay, we've got him. Dalton Kincaid is also going to be in the receiver room, essentially, right? And that's what Brandon Bean referred to it as, not a receiver room, but that offensive room, right? What did he call it? A pass-catching room or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Where I think Knox coming off of wrist surgery last year, right? He had the wrist injury all year.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone was like, oh, Dawson Drops is back. He had an injury all year.
Mm-hmm.
He's shown he's not that. I think this season he comes back with Kincaid. Those two are going to be crazy. And then you have Shakir. And from there, you really have Curtis Samuel now, but you've got to draft 2 solid receivers. And I think, like you said, trading up, pick 6 Malik Nabers, that's great. Couldn't really take another wide receiver off the board until like round 5, truthfully, because that's when you're starting to get into those depth wide receivers, right?
Yeah.
But your top guys, like Ladd McConkey, even Baker, Javon Baker out of UCF.
Man,
his
name is popping up often.
Right. And in that one where I traded back to round 2 for McConkey, pick 60, Javon Baker. You got 2 wide receivers right there who are relatively solid, right, and could be difference makers on this team. The one you trade up for Malik Nabers, you don't pick again until pick 69. You get Braylon Trice, which I liked, edge rusher.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you're not getting the 2 wide receivers. You're not on the train anymore if you do that, I feel like.
Yep.
You kind of take yourself, you exit the train.
And that's my thing, and that's why I'm always so leery about trading up, is because, I mean, we mentioned just a few minutes ago, like, then that guy has to hit, and in reality, he has to be as good as what potentially you could get in 2 of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't see that happening. I don't see how that value makes sense other than being really fun initially.
Yeah.
Maybe having a great rookie year, and then we're all coming back next March and April going, okay, well, they need another wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They still don't have enough bodies.
Right.
They still don't have enough guys that are allowing Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze to become truly what they could be, because they're often now, especially probably by the middle of the year if they're hitting, are getting double covered.
Now,
so
here's my question.
Yes.
Do you trade up to like pick like mid first round for a Brian Thomas something like that? Would that be something you're interested in?
I would be okay with it.
Yeah. Because you're not really selling the house for that, you know?
I think this is the thing. They're picking at 28. I'd be fine to move up to maybe 20.
Mm-hmm.
Jump up 8 spots. I think I'd be okay there.
Yeah.
But I'd still want another guy because Thomas Jr., while I love the physical traits, mm-hmm. ran such a limited route tree at LSU.
Yeah.
That I think his rookie year really is going to be just like, we're going to slowly bring him along. Just do what you do, which mm-hmm. is run deep, beat guys in straight line speed and catch touchdowns, which is great. Amazing. But he might have to be a slower role to get there, but be great in that role initially. Got to take a quick time out, but I kind of want to pose this question going into the next segment here, Joe.
Yeah.
Being realistic, and I posted it to Twitter here, so we'll get some of those responses when we come back, and we'll also take your calls. 803-0550 is the number. Being realistic, we're done on that Sunday after the draft. The Bills landed two wide receivers. Who are you hoping they be? Zach Jones, Joe Calley here on Sports Talk Saturday, and you're listening to WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They get, I think, multiple wide receivers in this draft, which is really deep at that position. Brian Thomas Jr. is who I'm projecting right now. Will he be there? Debatable, but he could be. If he's not, you've got Adonai Mitchell, you've got Worthy and Leggett, as I mentioned, and you have Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, Khalil Shakir, you added Curtis Samuel, and James Cook, the running back. So for me, no, I don't think the sky's falling in Buffalo not having Stephon Diggs, who I thought did a disservice to that team with some of the things, the way they were handled, and wasn't the go-to guy. It was Kincaid. So for me, sometimes it's addition. You know, even though you subtract it, maybe you add something big in this draft.
Oh,
there we go.
The draft godfather himself, Mel Kiper. Works a lot for ESPN. Comes on a ton for them during this time of the year as well. I mean,
I love his look too. You know,
oh, it's consistent.
It's like you know who it is.
You
as
know
soon as you
exactly
see it.
Who mm-hmm. it is. Talking
he's
there.
Had that look probably since he, started in like what 82, 83.
Yeah, he hasn't changed. I don't know when he started.
I read somewhere. I could be wrong. I think his wife does his haircuts, and she has for like
there we
40
go.
Years. I think I could be wrong there, but I remember reading something about that.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's his look. It's his look. So before we went to the break, I tweeted out here, and we've got a lot of responses here. We want to get to that. And it's being realistic. The Bills land two wide receivers in this draft. Who are you hoping they got? And we are going to get connected to our fans here. And that is brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Starting right at the top, I think this one, Joe, me and you were talking about it in the break. Andy tweets in, Leggett and Javon Baker. Xavier Leggett, Javon Baker. I think that one might be maybe a lot of people's favorites.
Yes.
Namely because I think what you do here, when you go in with this, Leggett is the pop prospect. He is the guy that you look at him and it's like, yeah, he's 6'3", he's 227, he runs in the 4.3s.
Yep.
He had an amazing final year at South Carolina. What's not there to like? Well, he's 23, he'll be 24 at the end of his rookie year, mm-hmm. and he only had 1 year of success, and it took his fifth year thanks to the COVID year.
Right.
Outside of that, he was basically a non-factor for South Carolina.
That's why a lot of people
years.
Are scared about him a little bit, I would say.
Partially why I'm terrified of mm-hmm. him. Because if we're being honest, looking at – so 2023, almost 1,300 yards, 71 catches, 7 touchdowns. 2022,
mm-hmm.
29 targets, 18 catches, just under 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. Mm. That is a stark difference.
Yeah.
But you look at that final year – and you go, okay, like that's working for me. Like I love that. That's what you're looking for. He adds the size. He adds the speed. He adds the contested catch ability. He has the pop ability that the Bills been looking for. But there is this fear of he's older
mm-hmm.
and it's 1 year. It's a single year. Now you also have other guys like Adonai Mitchell, kind of the same thing. Didn't do much at Georgia. Did a lot in the playoffs, but nothing really else. And then had one very good year at Texas. The difference there, though, is he's 21.
You're younger. You got more time.
Yeah, he's an early declaree out of a Power Five school. Xavier Leggett graduated at 23, and there is kind of this fear of like, man, like that's a big thing for me has kind of been by the time we get around to if he is good enough, paying him a second contract, which if you take him in the first round or even the second round, you kind of have this anticipation that you will do so. 28.
Mm-hmm.
At wide receiver, we just did this with Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
We never even got to his next deal. Now, you would with Baker, of course, but Are we then looking 2 years into his deal going, it's time to move on?
Yeah, right.
The athletic traits are down. Let's move on while the going's getting hot. That's not a place I want to be on a second contract. You know, that's something where I'm all right to deal with it in a third contract.
Yeah.
I'm willing to have that discussion.
You're setting yourself up for it in that second contract, though, I feel like.
Yep.
I mean, not trashing him by any means.
No.
Right?
Like I think that's an honest fear for people.
Yeah.
And it is for me.
And maybe he's a better fit in a different organization. I don't know. Like a team that might be a little more desperate, if you will, you know, for like talent. I know the Bills are like, we need wide receivers,
I think that would also come to a team just being like, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
You know, if he's that good, we'll pay him and we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Right. Maybe a team whose window isn't like threatening to be closed or something like that.
Yeah. They're like, no, like we've got our, and this is why I think he would actually really fit for the Bills. Like I'm leery about it, but I could see the Bills being like, screw it. Our quarterback's going to be 28 years old this year. Mm-hmm. We're right in our window.
Yeah.
He would come in. We believe he is that good to come in, have an A.J. Brown-type potential, mm-hmm. Deebo Samuel-type potential, come in, be amazing for us from the word go, and again, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. And maybe they get to a point, too, where they look him dead in the face like at that point and go, dude, you're going to be 31 by the time this contract's over with. We'll give you a three-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pay you a lot. It'll be a lot up front, but it's going to be a three-year deal. I can see that. And then on the flip side here with Andy's tweet, Javon Baker, who has been a rising name. If you've listened to the station over the last month and a half, you have heard Javon Baker out of UCF.
Oh, yeah.
He just turned 22 years old, so he's about a year younger than Xavier Leggett. He also, though, had pretty consistent production. 2 years ago in 2021, not much. I think he was a freshman at that point. You know, 9 or 7 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown. So there's not really much there. The next year, though, 56 catches, 796 yards, and 5 touchdowns. And then this final year actually had less catches with 52, but well over the yards at just over 1,100 and 7 touchdowns. His yards per reception went up 7 yards, 21.9 from 14.2. He has been a rising talent throughout this process. He's got good size, about 6'1", about over 200 pounds as well. He is somebody absolutely I would be in for. He's great at contested catches. He gets the job done. And he kind of would be a guy I would really love to see the Bills go get, especially in like the second or third round.
100%.
Because I think he comes in and just is like, he does everything really, really well. I don't really think there's kind of anywhere where you're sitting there going, yeah, he doesn't do this great. He doesn't do that great. Like, is he the fastest guy in the world? No. Does he have the best hands in this class? No, but they aren't bad.
No,
he's got good size. He's got good age. He works.
As long as you have better hands than Kelvin Benjamin,
we're here.
I'm fine.
We're good. So I love the Javon Baker idea. Xavier Leggett less so, but if you got both of them, I ain't complaining.
So here's my question to you.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills trade away their picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
For this year's first, next year's first, second next year as well. They end up getting Malik Nabers, right? That might be a little light, right?
Yeah, that might be.
But that actually happened in one of the mock drafts. That's why I'm asking.
That's fun.
Would you be okay with that kind of, like, if it was kind of on the light side and a team like the Giants at pick 6 did that, which I don't think they would. I think we caught him at happy hour when I did that mock draft.
Yeah, you may have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You may
but
have.
But would, like, as opposed to you trading away round 2, mm-hmm. or round 1, 28, and round 4, 133 for round 2, 36, and round 3, 67 to get Ladd McConkey, Javon Baker, and then you get Braylon Trice, the edge rusher out of Washington.
Yes.
Top 3 picks there. That, I feel like you've satisfied a lot on your, more on
your
roster
have,
than just getting Malik Nabers. And you got Ladd McConkey, right?
And that's my thing, too, is it's just like you have other needs. Wide receiver's not their only need.
Safety, too. Like, you in cornerback, like, you can.
It's why, there's honestly, a lot. We haven't talked a ton about it. I think it is an underrated issue that the Bills ran into this offseason, the comp pick, it being a fourth and not a third.
That's a problem.
I think it's a huge problem for them. Number one, I think, while they make the Rasul Douglas trade, still, they were banking on having another third-round pick. And I think it was to do this, take a wide receiver in round one, take one in round three, and get like a defensive player in round two.
Yeah.
I think realistically, their plan was pretty simple in that sense. And again, on paper, you get to the draft, everything changes.
Yeah.
But I think that was kind of their plan.
That might be what they still do, though. They might trade something to get into the third round in a good spot there.
That second-round pick for Minnesota
yeah.
is valued right now at a third-round pick.
Right. So you could But who knows? If they're terrible, a team might actually make out on that pretty good. But that might be the sell, right? Hey,
could be.
We're looking to build our guys this year. Mm-hmm. Next year's draft really isn't going to be the biggest for us. So, hey,
what we believe is an incredibly talented class.
Yeah, because this is, this is the biggest draft since 2018, I would say.
It feels like it.
It feels like it because you whiffed on Kyer Elam as of now. He still might show up. The Bills might run more man.
He's still on your team.
They might run more man coverage, and that's where he does his best work. Mm-hmm. They ran a lot of zone. That's not where he's his best. So you kind of, as of now, you've whiffed on that pick. But you get Benford in the same draft, right? So, okay, you kind of traded away that one. You got a cornerback for cornerback, one just later. I think I'm sitting here thinking about this draft, and I'm like, okay, this is probably the most important one since the one they got Josh Allen in. Right?
Yeah.
Because Ed Oliver, that was a good draft, too.
That hits.
The year after, who was it? Was it Epinesa the year after? Or was that? No.
I'm looking it up.
I'm sorry. I'm jumbling draft in my head here.
All right. So let's go. So in 2018, of course, they do take Josh Allen, mm-hmm. as we all know. 2019 is where they take Ed Oliver. They do miss on Cody Ford. However, they do get Dawson Knox in there.
Right.
So that kind of works. 2020, AJ Epinesa, he's still here. Mm-hmm. Zach Moss, gone. They traded him. Gabe Davis, as we said, value-wise, great fourth-round pick. They let him walk because he gets a big payday. Yeah. Tyler Bass is in that draft as well. Dane Jackson's in that draft. In 21, it's Rousseau, Basham, Spencer Brown.
Okay, that's not a bad draft
Basham
either.
Basham hurts, but Rousseau's not too bad. Spencer Brown ain't too bad.
No, he's on the up and up, too. Yeah, this season, I think he's going to be his best season in a Bills uniform.
Yep. 2022, Elam, as we just mentioned. James Cook, who has become not too bad.
Yeah.
Terrell Bernard. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Khalil Shakir in the fifth round. Christian Benford in the sixth.
Mm-hmm.
Benford
in the sixth is one of the biggest steals, I would say.
I think it's fun. 2022 might be their best draft class.
Yeah. But
they missed the first rounder, yes. So like no one thinks about it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, last year, Dalton Kincaid, Osiris Torrance, Dorian Williams.
Okay, that one's good, too. Osiris,
two of those guys have already hit. Dorian Williams, I think a lot of us wanted to see more of him in the Chiefs game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were so tired of seeing A.J. Klein.
But it's not even a slight on A.J. Klein. He was getting on a plane to go to Florida with his family, and he got called in to cover Travis Kelce.
Hit a vacation, and do you want to get sacrificed?
Right, exactly. But here's my thing. It's just like, this draft, wide receiver-wise, right? We haven't seen the Bills go heavy wide receiver in any draft in the Josh Allen era, right? They do get a Khalil Shakir, but it's not like, okay.
Their highest pick at wide receiver has been Gabe Davis in the fourth round.
Exactly. So this draft is huge.
The last time they took a wide receiver as high as round two was 2017 with Zay Jones. Brandon Bean was not the GM yet at that point.
No.
That was McDermott and... Well, McDermott, I guess, was kind of running that draft.
Right, I guess.
The last time they took a wide receiver in round one would have been, as many of us have brought up, 2014 when they traded up to take Sammy Watkins.
Clemson. Clemson guy right there.
I still remember what I was doing when they traded up to get him.
I just remember I was learning why everyone booed the commissioner. that's when I was getting into that. So that's what I was doing.
Straight up for Sammy Watkins, and your takeaway from that draft is I actually found out why people booed the commissioner. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, yeah.
I was my dad
12 or something like that.
Yeah,
like I wasn't really maybe 11 at that point.
Yep.
Yeah, so
I was 15, about to turn 16. And me and my dad were driving home from swim practice.
Oh boy,
for the draft, and we were like rushing home. Because the draft had started, and we were like rushing home. And, of course, like the Bills pick later, but there were rumblings. I do remember the rumblings of the Bills couldn't be a trade-up team. Like, I remember maybe Sammy Watkins' dad had talked a lot about, like, he loved the Raiders. Like, the Bills are a team that's calling, or we think that's interested. And my ears perked up because I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean the Bills?
Right, yeah.
I like those Clemson teams a lot. I was a big Taj Boyd fan.
You big Rex Ryan guy, huh? He was a big Clemson guy, as you know.
Oh man, Rex Ryan, just, he ruined a lot of stuff for me.
He did.
But so I do remember, and it's why I joke at the idea of like if they trade up for Malik Nabers, like at the time we'd be all thrilled. Like I was thrilled at the time when they trade up for Sammy Watkins, and then like immediately it was like, oh man, this value-wise is not good. And even, you know, 15, 16-year-old Zach also was like, it better work. Mm-hmm. Like EJ Manuel better be the guy and this better work. I mean, that's why they did it. It was to get your quarterback you took last year in the first round and hope that's the guy.
Yeah. EJ Manuel.
It didn't work out. It did not work out. EJ barely played into his second year.
No, now he's an analyst for college football.
He's very good at it, by the way. He works for the ACC
Network. Look at his career in college football. He was fantastic. He just was one of those players who couldn't transition to the pro game. That was it.
He was a fine college quarterback.
Mm-hmm. He knows the mechanics of the game. He just, for whatever reason, couldn't apply him in the NFL.
His biggest problem, too, is legacy. He's followed by Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Winston's redshirt freshman year, he throws 40 touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. It's like, and EJ, I don't think, ever threw over
But look
22.
At Jameis Winston in the NFL.
He's a blast. What are you talking about?
He's a blast, but he's currently sitting backup. You know what I mean?
Where's
he
at now? It's not New Orleans.
Boy.
Cleveland. He's in Cleveland.
Yep. There it is. He might actually get a starting opportunity. Who knows?
That might happen.
Yeah.
Real quick before we take our next time out, one more tweet here. Tom Leggett, as we mentioned, and McConkey or Javon Baker. McConkey is a fun guy.
Big McConkey guy.
I want to dive into that here. We got to take a quick time out here. I want to dive into McConkey because he is somebody I was very wrong on when this process started.
Yeah. And he's a big Bills guy. Kay Adams. He went on that show.
That he had talked with the Bills a number of times.
Yeah.
He is somebody I have grown to like more and more as this process has gone on. Zach Jones, Joe Cali here. If you want to join the show, 803-0550 is the number to call. Also, coming up at the top of the hour, Joe Yerden. Bleacher Report, he's going to join us as a lot of stuff in the NHL. The Sabres play tonight, but also the Arizona Coyotes pulling a Baltimore Colts and seemingly leaving in the middle of the night. We'll get his thoughts on that as well. Again, Zach Jones, Joe Cali here on Sports Talk Saturday. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. A little bit of a crummy Saturday here.
Yeah, it looks like eclipse weather again.
Yeah, right? That was fun, though. That was fun.
That was really cool.
That was a lot of fun this week.
This is the first Sports Talk Saturday post-eclipse, and I'm loving it.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. I was ready to like kind of hate on it a little bit. I didn't want to be that guy. I was just like, it's cloudy here. Like, this is going to be kind of garbage.
It's still bleak as night.
Yeah, one of the coolest experiences of my life. Let's go to the phones here real quick. Let's go to Adam. Adam, good morning. How are we doing today?
Hey, good. How are you?
Doing very well.
I've never called in. I'm in the car with my kid. And we're driving from West Seneca to Olean. And I got to ask, I know we're on the wide receiver train, but how many touchdown passes has Josh Allen thrown to a one wide receiver?
You said a first-round wide receiver?
But a wide receiver.
I believe
I think it's only one. I think it's Kelvin Benjamin.
Yes. So me and Joe were talking in the break, Adam, and we were both like, I think it's only Benjamin, because I know that was the thing. Is like, he's the only first-round receiver that he played with, and I'm like, yeah, that's got to be right. And that was an experience.
I'm pretty sure Joe and Jeremy, it was Jeremy, the Jeremy White show, they had that as one of their stats of the year about Aaron Rodgers. But it's like it's pretty true for now 6-7 years into his career.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Adam, thanks for the call. And yeah, it's
so true. Of course, Kelvin Benjamin, too, he had T-Rex arms, as I always like to say. He just would never extend for a ball.
Man, he was
if you didn't hit him like right there. Yeah. I have his card. I bought Josh Allen's rookie pack of cards just in Target when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And of course, I have an A.J. McCarron and a Bengals jersey, but a Bills card. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And Kelvin Benjamin, all of them.
Benjamin was interesting, too, because it's like he was like the prototypical like big wide receiver.
Yeah.
6'5", 230 pounds.
Chase Claypool is the second coming of Kelvin Benjamin. That's what it is.
And he did nothing for the Bills. And I think 18 games he played here or something like that, had two touchdowns and just did nothing. I mean, I do got to thank Benjamin for one thing, though, when it comes to the Bills' offense. They learned very quickly. The Bills themselves learned very quickly. All right, do not get Josh Allen big targets. Get him guys that separate.
John Brown, Isaiah McKenzie, right?
Like which is where guys like we brought him up right before we went to timeout here is Ladd McConkey is a separation artist.
Yeah.
He has been one of the more fun prospects I've had to pay attention to because initially when this started, I didn't know much about McConkey. He was one of the few kind of guys that I know was getting like named early that I was like, I didn't see much of him. Like when I thought of Georgia's offense, I thought of Brock Bowers. And everything I'd heard initially to start was like slot receiver. And I'm like, cool, done. The Bills are not going to touch him.
Mm-hmm.
They need an outside guy.
Yeah, you've got Shakir. You're not touching.
You got Shakir, but I was also like, yeah, Kincaid.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we're done. Don't got to worry about it.
Right.
And it continued because I was like, I'm just not going to pay attention to him. Like I heard he's a slot initially and just out of sight, out of mind. They signed Curtis Samuel. And I still saw people like talking about Ladd McConkey to the Bills. And I'm like, guys, we've got like four slot receivers. What are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, he is he's a do-it-all guy. His biggest problem was he's behind maybe the greatest college tight end of all time and a Georgia offense that likes to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, like, just...
Brock Bowers, right?
Yeah, Brock Bowers.
Mm-hmm.
Separates, great hands, great athleticism. Doesn't have size.
He's not. He's not a large
not
wide
a
receiver.
Guy.
Not a big guy by any means.
I think he's 5'11", maybe 6 foot.
But here's the thing. You need that guy who can create separation to run down the field for Allen's deep ball, right?
He is the guy, though. I would love to get Ladd McConkey and then like also a Javon Baker or a Jalen Polk out of Washington. Like, those guys would be so much fun to have both of them. I'm not saying the Bills are in a better situation than they were, you know, 3 weeks ago before they traded Stephon Diggs. But I'm telling you, I'd be really excited. I'd be amped.
I think there's
I'd
an
be
upside.
Amped. Yeah,
there's an absolute upside. It's not doom and gloom after trading Diggs.
Yep. Let's take another call here before we take our next time out. We got Matt on the line. Matt, how are we doing this morning? Matt, are you there?
Hey guys, how are you?
Good, good.
Hi there. I was just thinking, it's kind of a mind exercise. NFL drafts, going back whatever year you want, a guy, where would players go knowing what you know now? Like Marino or Elway or Benford. It's kind of a, but you have to know their future and then as a GM decide when you're going to take them. Now, would Marino go above Kelly or Elway? If you follow my line of thought.
Yeah.
You're using hindsight.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, thanks for the call. I think, number one, on that initial point, I do think Marino goes over Kelly. I think just having watched a few documentaries and they did a 30 for 30 on the 83 draft, Marino doesn't get taken high because of a poor senior season and then steroid rumors.
Right.
Like, outside of that, it was Elway's one, which I still think Elway would go number one. He was in a Denver offense that hated passing the ball, which is stunning.
Mm-hmm.
Marino changed the game, though. He was a guy that threw for 5,000 yards in an era where if you threw for 3,000, it was great. He threw for 48 touchdowns in an era where throwing for 20 was considered awesome.
Yeah.
Like, he changed the game. And look, I'm all for Jim Kelly, but you put Dan Marino
with the Bills,
with just significantly more talented Bills teams, we're having a very different conversation.
And that, you know, it's tough to say. You don't want to say that, but at the same time,
I have no problem saying
you got to look back.
I never watched Jim Kelly play. I have no like allegiance to him as like the Bills' greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah, you're right. And honestly, I think our quarterback now is the guy.
Yeah,
he is.
I said it after his like fourth year. I'm fine with it. I'm happy there.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right.
But and then I heard the caller brought up Christian Benford as well.
Yeah, could you switch him and Elam around?
Here's the thing. He was a sixth round pick. I actually only think he gets taken maybe as high as the third round.
Yeah.
He's not the most athletic guy in the world,
mm-mm.
And that is something you want with corners. Like Benford gets the job done.
Yeah, but the Bills' cornerback room is that though. They're not like athletic. They're just smart. They have good field sense.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Like, Dane Jackson is another one, another guy I would bring up there, too. Like, he was taken in the seventh round.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe he only goes, like, to the fourth.
Well, even Tre'Davious White, he's not the fastest cornerback out there, not the most athletic, right?
Yep.
But in his prime, he had good field sense. He knew what he was doing.
He's an all-pro cornerback.
Yeah.
All right, got to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we're going to switch over to hockey. We've got Joe Yurden coming up. We've got a lot going on. Sabres, of course, playing tonight, pregame at 4, puck drop at 5, and they take on Florida. And then, of course, a lot of stuff going on with the Arizona Coyotes. I want to get Joe's thoughts on that as well. Plenty more of that coming your way. Joe Yurden, after a quick timeout, you're listening to Sports Talk Saturday right here on WGR.